This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, Spokazi and Amakala.
Go local this morning. It is 3 minutes after seven. CliffCentral.com. It's Thursday. Oh, with everything going up, and it's the first day of the new month, so you're probably looking at your bank balance, making a couple of payments, watching those debit orders come off. You know how it is. It's stretched in every direction, right? Get those SMS notifications. Bleep, beep, beep. Bleep, beep, beep.
And they're always like 2 in the morning as well.
This has come off your account. Good luck with the rest of your month.
Sure, that's putting it mildly.
Well, OnePlan's motto is to put healthcare back into your hands. OnePlan offers health insurance that is more affordable for all of us. And you get to choose what you need when you need it. That's important because, you know, so many of these health insurance products, you're paying and paying and paying and paying. You might spend, you know, God willing, you spend 9/10 of your year feeling great and not needing medical assistance or medical insurance. But then that one occasion arises and you aren't adequately covered. So you need to be able to choose what you need when you need it. And with so many changes happening, you got to make sure your health care isn't compromised. For effective health insurance from as little as 330 Rand per month, just SMS the word health, H-E-A-L-T-H, to 31644. OnePlan will call you back. That's health to 31644. And when they call you back, you can ask all the questions in the world to determine the best coverage for you at the best price. You could say,
I have a gammy leg. How much extra is that going to cost me this year?
You could say to them, I have a wart in a very private area. I need to have this sorted out. What will that cost me? Am I covered in the case of sexually transmitted diseases? You could ask them questions about whether or not you can get treatment for something that you don't like about the way you look, plastic surgery. You need to ask them all these questions because you need the thing designed around you. You're not just going to walk into a shop and put on any item of clothing when you haven't even checked the size. So do the same thing with your insurance. SMS health to 31644. Let them call you back. You don't even have to pay for the call. Awesome. Let's get into some news.
So Eskom have confirmed that the 50 billion rand short-term loan that it received from the Public Investment Corporation will be paid back today. This is according to their spokesperson, Khulu Phasiwe. It's been an eventful week for the power utility. They managed to secure a 20 billion rand short-term credit facility with a consortium of local and international banks yesterday. Jeez. And now they're saying that, yes, we'll be able to pay back the money. And this comes a day after Standard & Poor's global ratings downgraded Eskom's credit rating. So I guess that downgrading also kind of lit a fire underneath them to say, okay, maybe we should
get some money while we can.
Yeah.
Lazy thinkers.
Okay. When the loan was extended by the PIC back in February, the Public Servants Association said that it felt betrayed by the agreement, as this could risk government employee pensions being caught up in flailing state-owned companies. But now Eskom are saying, okay, we managed to secure this loan from some of these banks, so we're going to be able to pay back the money to the PIC.
Right. Now, I wish people would get as upset about what happens with their pension money as they do about the land they don't own. You know,
the only people who get upset are those affected. If it's not your pension money, then you don't.
But chances are in this country, because we have so many people working for government, chances are you will be affected. Someone you know would be affected. Someone you're related to might be affected. I mean, essentially, this is your future, and the PIC is gambling with it on Eskom. You don't see people up in arms in the street burning tires over this, and they should be. This is your future. This will ensure that you either can or can't eat one day when you're 75 years old. You know, Julius, and issues of land in Parliament affect you and your wallet about zero compared to that. But you don't hear people going, hey, PIC, you're not allowed to go and place all of our money on red at the casino with Eskom, which we know they can never pay back money. This is the first time I've heard that they paid back anything. And you're gambling your own pension, your future away. People aren't upset about that. They don't even seem to take an interest.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. We all know what this is about at the end of the day.
Sure. It's the low-hanging fruit. That's what it always is.
That's what it always is.
That's what the politicians are good at exploiting. All right. Well, good for Eskom. I mean, listen, I hope that whoever's in charge there now is able to take control. It seems like there are good noises coming out of Eskom. Let them run it properly. We don't have load shedding. Do you remember those years?
Oh, good God.
Do you remember that stuff?
I reckon that was a ploy just to kind of try hasten the nuclear deal.
Nuclear deal or the Gupta coal deal?
Well, one led to the other.
I don't Oof. Know. I don't know. I think you might be onto something.
Those were dark days, man.
Sure. Literally and figuratively.
Where's
Wow, I can't believe we survived the load shedding period.
Where's Uncle Brian nowadays?
Brian who?
Molef.
Oh, I don't know. Last we heard from him, he was told that he needed to pay back that nice bonus that was cut to him. But we don't know if anybody has been following up or keeping tabs on
someone needs to
how
see
that all got resolved.
He needs to pay back his money. We want to see that money going into the account.
Yeah,
because he owes that to Eskom, and Eskom owe that to the PIC. So
well,
it's all related.
Yeah, but since that event, nobody has been keeping tabs on him, so we don't know what's happened. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
He probably left with the Bank of Baroda.
I want to see him crying again on TV when they come and take his furniture out of his house. I mean, he stole that money. Fair
Completely.
And square. 30
Completely.
Million. A pension of 30 million. You've been at the company for what? He was there for 5 or 7 years.
It was going to be paid over a 3-year period. So he actually got, I think it was 11 million. And it was that amount that they ruled. No. Okay, that needs to be paid back because they were going to give it to him over time.
Only 11 million. He's got that in his petty cash drawer at home.
So yeah, somebody should follow up to find out if they've managed to retrieve that amount.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, Fikile Mbalula, look, he will still be getting an EFT transaction in his account every month because he is now going to be, what did the ANC said yesterday? They confirmed that the former Minister of Police being redeployed.
Yeah, he's head of erections.
Yes, he is the head of elections, Gareth.
Sorry, elections.
This was announced by Jesse Duarte yesterday, the Deputy Secretary General of the party.
But you better believe that's not going to be the salary that he got as minister.
Oh, no, definitely not. But, you know, a little is better than nothing, I'm sure, is how Julius...
Well, he really
will... Or maybe his wife feels at the moment.
Julius, you mean Figile.
Sorry, Figile, yeah.
He really will just take anything, huh?
Of course he will.
Oh, what skills has he got?
What else is he going to do?
The ability to take anything. That's a skill.
So this appointment follows a decision of the NEC to deploy several chairpersons of committees to Luthuli House. And, Mbalula is one of the people who knew. And, in fact, that's why he took to Twitter before the cabinet reshuffle was announced, because he already knew that they had told him that, listen, this is where you're going to go now. This is where you go. So that's why he took to social media to say, I expect to be reshuffled. Luthuli House will be my next calling. So, Fikile Mbalula, on to his next.
Yeah, we call that sheltered.
On to the next one.
We call that sheltered employment. It's what you do when there's shame. You know, everybody has a relative. Everyone has that one relative who's not very good at anything. And rather than you have to fork out money for them, you try to make it look like they're actually earning a living. So you give them a job doing, I don't know, something you could get a parrot to do. You know, taking the seeds and throwing them on the cage floor or whatever. And then you pay them in inverted commas, salary. So he feels like he's achieving something and he's doing meaningful work.
Well, he's a bit like Tito Jackson, really.
Yeah.
He's in the background. He'll move a couple of bricks, but he's not really good. He's just.
Or the other two Supremes.
Yeah.
Diana Ross was all that mattered there. It's Fikile. Shame. At least he's got something to do. He's going to be so bored and no one's going to follow him on Twitter anymore. People are going to unfollow him. They don't care. And then I saw this bit of news. I don't know if you're done with that one, Mubs, but Steinhoff finally released their results. And the German press say they have internal emails proving for the first time that there was collusion between Markus Huerster and other executives. Also, financial manipulation, and it goes back further than first thought. I mean, it's a German article. My German's not so good. But the Steinhoff scandal gets worse every single day. I mean, they declared yesterday that they've had major losses. They cannot access any capital anymore. It's a real mess. And you think about how many people's pension money was wasted there. When we talk about Eskom and the PIC. But a lot of people were also, including government pensions, were invested in Steinhoff. I mean, it was one of those companies people said, oh, this is a sure thing. Meanwhile, these crooks were cooking the books. Old school. Let's just lie on paper. Off balance sheet money.
You know, I feel like I'm an idiot because I didn't subscribe to be a criminal, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I feel like, you know what, everybody else is doing it. Why are we holding on to our moral code, our moral compass? Like, everyone is a thief.
Well, not everyone. I mean, you and Ben and I haven't stolen anything.
Yes, but
look
at us. We're sitting here with... Yeah. Like, yeah, I know. We're not prospering like any of these other people.
Well, I wouldn't want... Would you like to be Marcus Huerster? That guy's going to go to jail. Eventually, he's going to go to jail. Would you like to be him? Would you like to be Jacob Zuma with those charges that are going to be brought again? Would you like to
look,
be the doctor?
On the day that I actually see these people go to jail, that is when I'll give you an answer. Because I think they're going to get away with it, with all of it.
Hmm. I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too.
Okay, Steinhoff, that's the latest we've got on them. Because a lot of people are asking, what's going on there? We haven't seen anyone go to jail yet. We haven't seen any court cases yet. We haven't seen any investigations. So they released their results yesterday, and there's a lot to talk about. Steinhoff is not going away. By the way, speaking of people who we're still waiting for justice to fall on, when is Henry van Breda going to be sentenced?
No.
How long is that taking?
Okay, I can look that up for you. But I mean, it wasn't too long ago when he was sentenced.
Well, there was a whole postponement.
We need updates all the time. This is the only show that cares about the Henry van Breda story.
They only closed their case, what, last month? Wasn't it last month?
No, it was like a couple of weeks ago. And then we will now deliberate on the findings or some crap. But... I don't get this, and Gareth, you'll probably know, but do the people involved now have to take on 17 other jobs at the same time?
Well,
court. You've just gone through the whole process. Have you not been listening?
The courts cannot, they have to do a whole lot of things at once. They can't just focus on one case, get the one case out of the way, and move to the next case. There are thousands of things that go on in the courts all across South Africa every day, and this judge probably has a schedule of things that he was committed to last January. Has to see to them. He's on the roll. He's got a number of matters. Has to go through them. And then he goes, oh, God, this thing again. He looks at the Van Breda one and goes, well, we're going to have to wait until 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or a month.
And then after sentencing, you know, Henry gets to appeal.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to. You see, this whole appeal thing irritates me. Like, a court's done its job. Let's stop there.
It's so true. Like, can we not just put faith in that process?
No.
It seems to be extensive enough.
No, Ben.
But it's quite interesting. You know, when you Google somebody's name, you get their name, and if there's someone famous, then their name will be shown in a box on the right as a Wikipedia page, and you get the highlights of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
When you Google Henry van Breda, the Wikipedia box is just the van Breda murders. Location, well, Stellenbosch. Weapon, axe.
There we go.
Number of deaths, 3. Attack type, axe murder. Non-fatal injuries, 1. So there's a death scorecard for who this guy is.
Wikipedia have decided who he is.
Wikipedia have wrapped this up. Good on you guys.
Oh, they don't mess around. I've noticed Wikipedia will update because it's, you know, it's crowdsourced. So you have people all over the world who are contributing there. And then other people will okay it. And there's peer review. So when someone dies, Wikipedia is on it pretty much straight away. So Henry van Breda, huh? That's what they say about him. Hey, Ben, says somebody on WhatsApp this morning, can you believe next month will be April?
Yeah. Yeah, I can.
0797482090 is the WhatsApp number if you want to get hold of us. If you want to call us, 0861555189. All right.
So Donald Trump really, really wants to still be president in 2020.
Oh, he wants to go for a second term?
Yeah, he's confirmed.
This guy's he's insane. He had such a great life before he became president.
Okay.
What a nutcase.
But I confirmed that he definitely will want to run. He's already announced his campaign manager. This is going to be Donald 2020.
Ugh.
And really? you know he's going to say something like, I can see clearly now and I want to run for 2020.
I don't understand. I really don't get this guy at all.
Yeah, but it's always ego. We can't comprehend what it must be like to live in your ego. And your ego is all that counts. So if he doesn't run for a second term, everyone will say, well, you know, it was just a one-term thing.
Oh, I don't know.
I reckon it's not such a bad thing living in your ego, Ben, because no matter what anybody else says about you, you always know that you are the best.
Right. You brush it off.
You never suffer from insecurity. You brush all people's criticisms like off, you know, brush it off your shoulder very quickly. Mm. Nothing ever affects you. I think it must be quite nice, actually, being that egotistical.
It's like wearing armor.
Yeah. It's like you walk in and you tell everybody, I'm going to tell you how great I am.
Yeah, most of us get so upset when someone says something horrible about us, right?
How dare you! Not how Trump. Dare you!
Yeah, well, we do. We get upset.
Fake news, they're all idiots.
Yeah, this guy doesn't. He's told the whole media they're a bunch of liars.
Yes.
Told anyone who's against him, he just says he's an idiot, or they little Marco Rubio, or crooked Hillary.
And then, of course, we have... Crooked Hillary.
I'll tell you what, if Crooked Hillary runs again in 2020, then we've got a problem.
She will. She'll give another go. She'll write a book saying, fifth time lucky or whatever it is.
Crooked Hillary, she must try and run again. I'd rather see Donald Trump there again than her. There's a story doing the rounds, someone says, Vusi on WhatsApp this morning. Thank you, Vusi, for messaging us this. You know, sometimes we get... a lot of our listeners are people in the know. Vusi seems to be one of those people. There's a story doing the rounds that Paul Mashatile has been Julius Malema's informant in the ANC, and that's why he appears to be accurately predicting their every move. Could be fake news, but I reckon it's worth giving some consideration, Vusi.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. How else does Julius know the things that he knows? That wouldn't be surprising at all.
Yeah, we know he's got an insider.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that it might be Paul Mashatile. If you let women compete against men in every sport, there will be a hashtag for unfairness, and then eventually it'll be expected that all men should go for gender reassignment surgery.
Yeah, and there'll be sort of selection quotas, like then you have to have like three women, and it's just stupid. And do women really lose sleep at night going, oh, if only I can play Super Rugby? I don't see that problem.
No, this is one woman giving a shit. The rest of us really don't.
I don't think women feel their lives have been compromised because they can't compete against men at the highest level. In contact sport, of course.
You hear about this Ghanaian teacher who's become a hit because he shows people how to use a computer even though he's never used one.
Mm-mm.
He does it on a blackboard, and apparently he's gone viral. People just love him. So he's a Ghanaian school teacher. He teaches how to use Microsoft Windows on a blackboard. And everybody thinks this is the most awesome thing ever. So listen to this quickly. It's right out of Ghana. Okay, here he is. It's been a global story now about this teacher who posted photos of himself drawing on a blackboard with a multicolored chalk version of Microsoft Windows. The students in his class can be seen drawing it into their notebooks. Social media exploded in admiration and wonder at his effort to explain how computers work without even using a computer. He's never used one before. So he basically has like a screenshot drawn in chalk on the board. His name is Richard Apia Akoto. He's 33. He's the information and communication technology teacher at Betenase MA Junior High School in the town of Sekedumase. And he is... in near Ghana's second city, which is called Kumasi. And so apparently people are very excited. The school has no computers, even though since 2011, 14 and 15-year-olds are expected to write and pass a national exam in computer science, and that's one of their subjects. This is not the first time of drawing this. He's been doing it all his life, and he likes posting pictures through a friend on Facebook. And he didn't know how he could get all this attention, but he says he's been a teacher at the school for 6 years, and his real love is teaching the kids at that school. How do you like that?
Well, do the right thing, Bill and Melinda Gates. Keep talking about how philanthropic you are.
Right.
People are drawing windows. How about give them one?
Exactly. Give this guy a goddamn computer. And give him one of those projector screens where he can make his computer screen go up onto the you know, the blackboard or the projector behind him.
Yeah, but then he'll get a computer and then his life will be over because then he'll be looking at all kinds of cat videos. He'll be stuck on YouTube all day. You probably find he's better off right now.
Look him up. Owura Gwadwo in Kumasi. Owura Gwadwo. Go and take a look at what he's doing. People always complain, oh, well, we don't have resources. Our schools are underfunded, blah, blah, blah. Here's a guy who's teaching these kids how to do computer science without ever having used an actual computer. Wow. What an amazing human being. I love this. People who triumph over adversity. Beautiful job. And thanks for letting us know about that on WhatsApp this morning, too. Morning, guys. I just ordered myself cliffcentral.com wireless earphones. Nice. I've been looking for a good pair from a Cliff Central fan. And then I've got this letter. Can I squeeze this in before we carry on with the news?
Sure.
This is some unbelievable stuff. So someone who listens to us called Stephen was listening yesterday, and he said he heard the Rose McGowan clip about sexual predators and dodgy, messed up people, and said he'd like to share a story about what happened close to home. His wife decided that she was done with their marriage after being a mother to their four children and a daughter to her father that lived with all of them. She decided, screw that, and left for East London to get back herself and get control of her depression and sort out her life. Well, that's what she told him. So Stephen said, fine, you want to go find yourself? Go and do it.
East London.
She's a grown woman. She can make her own choices and decisions. So he says, fine, I'll look after the kids. I'll look after your dad. You go off and find yourself. I mean, that's a hell of a guy, right? So he lets her go, and she decides to make the move to East London. And in September last year, she left. He subsequently found out she'd be having an affair with her boss until she left for East London at the end of 2016. That was about 2 years. And he was the calling card that was promising to give her a better life.
Mm.
All right, so she's off with him. After 2.5 months of being with him, she got lured into another relationship with an ex from her high school days. That started in the second week of December last year. Strangely enough, while she'd asked for a divorce 2 weeks after she left Joburg, we had daily communication. From the moment she got together with boyfriend number two, all that communication ended. At first, I was really pleased, says Stephen. I had all the kids with me, they were safe, and all their needs were tended to by me. I've raised all four kids as mother and father since they were babies. Due to her depression, she was always much more self-absorbed and on her own, and she was never prepared to try and fix any of that. Anyway, he says, the ex-boss then made contact with me. So this is boyfriend number one that had been, she'd been cheating on this guy, or cheating on Stephen with this guy, right? So he contacts Stephen. He's like, hey, why did she just pack up and leave? So he says, fine, let's talk, because we're both adults. And they found out that she had been lying to him and to Stephen. And now she had this new boyfriend. And he's apparently a known drug addict, fraudster, and wannabe gangster. So the ex-boss and Stephen started talking. Are you following this?
Mm.
And she would post pictures on Facebook. She'd take 2 or 3 days to respond to the kids. And then out of the blue, the boyfriend decided he needed to get involved. This is the new boyfriend.
Wow.
In the divorce proceedings. So I told him to stay the fuck out of my business. He objected and he started to threaten me. Towards the end of January, there was barely any contact with my ex-wife. I decided to get hold of the new boyfriend's ex-wife. It's getting very complicated. But that opened a Pandora's box. So he spoke to this new guy, his ex, found out that he was a monster. Brief rundown. My wife is now the victim of his actual MO as to what he does and how he preys on victimized and battling divorcees. And she gave him 3 contact numbers of previous victims. And he contacted all of them to corroborate the facts and the horror stories that he could not believe when he was reading them.
Wow. He's
loud. He's in the public eye on Facebook. He looks after these women that have been strung out by their exes. But he advocates how he is heartbroken and he's not allowed to see his son. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this dude turns out to be a monster. He uses mind control, whatever means necessary, to get them into a state of Stockholm syndrome where they can't leave. He denies basic needs like water and food so that they give over all control to him. Mixed in with this, the use of substances, where the victims are forced or convinced to take cocaine, crystal meth, speed, ice, liquid G, etc. He then gets some of his friends to come in and rape the girl to force her into an even more dominated situation, threaten their families, films it, saves the footage. Mm. And on top of that, he then pimps the girl out to wealthy men in East London. I mean, this is just unbelievable.
Jeez, people are living difficult lives out there, hey?
Wow.
Needless to say, from 9 December to 15 February, my soon-to-be ex-wife was entrapped by this animal. And the only discerning factor that convinced me to act was a phone call from her. I could hear she was distressed and out of it on Valentine's Day. I managed, after speaking to other victims, to rally together the ex-boss, who still cares about her too, and gather a drug intervention squad with a warrant to drive from Joburg to East London overnight into the premises and have her extracted, safely delivered to a rehab facility in Gauteng. This is unreal. She's in 2 weeks already and will be in for another 6 months. I'm not on a crusade to save my soon-to-be ex-wife. I afforded my children and her father, who still lives with me, the opportunity to have more time to be with her. But she's really fucked up. And she's only just started to open up about what actually went down. The story is the mirror image of the three other victims. This guy threatened me, which I can handle, but he threatened the children as well. And I'm sure you can use your imagination as to what these threats are, including our 14-year-old girl. Who, how, where do I go with this? I'm small, and the ex-boss and I are determined to end this guy for good and make sure he's locked up or caught up with the real gangsters that he's pissed off along the way. By all means, tell the story on the show. I'm telling you first, and I'd like to remain anonymous, but this is really an atrocity to women and children. I do feel small and insignificant, but before he gets his next victim, I want him to know that we are after him. He needs to be stopped. Carte Blanche could expose this guy and the wealth of some of these businessmen that he supplies girls to. Anyway, he says, look, this is happening in our country, in one of our small towns, East London, and there's very real damage taking place. So, dude, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I read this last night because he emailed me last night, and I'm just horrified. There are people who behave like this, and they pretend to be members of civilized society.
It's such a difficult situation because you know that if you go to the police to report an incident like this, nothing gets done without actual evidence.
Sure, so yeah. Then it's quite a difficult story to tell the police first and foremost.
Yes. So then when the police can't help you, then who do you turn to next?
I mean, in the 80s, you could go to the A-team, but I mean, they've been disbanded a long time ago.
And this is why sometimes, you know, this is why sometimes in incidents of mob justice, for example, so where somebody has been found to be terrorizing a community and then the community decides that's it.
Yeah, they turn on.
We're all going to get our garden equipment and we are going to deal with this person.
Yeah, this
and
rat.
Then everybody else in society gets upset and they say, no, mob justice is wrong. But then when you ask the community, why did you guys do this? They will tell you because the police did nothing about it.
And then like you said, you feel small. So you when you feel small like this, you just don't have any options.
And then you decide to take matters into your own hands, because what is the alternative to keep on being terrorized by this person?
Yeah, dude, I don't have advice because I've never been in a situation like this. And you must be one of the strongest people in the world to be putting up with what you are and still being able to reach out to this woman, save her essentially from this monster, put her into rehab, and to be able to do this with her lover, who she was cheating with on you. I mean, you've got to be the biggest human being in the world. You're looking after four kids. You're looking after her father. She's a disaster. She's cheated on you twice. You saved her from the latest boyfriend. You're collaborating with the previous boyfriend. You have the most generous soul of any human being I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably being driven by the fact that she is the mother of his children.
Well, whatever it is.
That is probably the one thing that's making him say,
oh,
okay, I have to help her because she is the mother of my children.
I am blown away by this. I don't know what to say, man. Good luck. That's all. You've got your ex-wife now in this, or soon-to-be ex-wife, in this facility. She's going to be able to testify. She's got the whole story. You know, you've got the other victims. this guy's going to be in trouble. You've got to take this the legal route. Unfortunately, what Mubs is talking about with mob justice, you're looking for trouble there. Could get yourself into deeper shit. I would take this up. Find a lawyer. And I know you don't have lots of money and lots of time, and you're already putting your whole effort into sorting this problem out. But that's the only way to do it. It's a criminal situation, so you've got to lay charges. And you've got to follow it through. You've got to be tenacious about it. You can't back down. So far, it seems that you're the kind of person who doesn't back down, so the whole case is in good hands if you're the guy who's going to make sure that it goes through, and this ex-boss of hers.
But it's like you said, the thing is, like, before the next victim, you know, again, like, talk about someone who's completely selfless. You're showing this in the whole side of the story, but then to the point of saying there will be someone else and he wants to stop that.
I mean, you're doing it for someone you don't even know. Because for all you know, your soon-to-be ex-wife is safe now. At least she's more safe than if she was with this monster. Yeah, just shows you, you know, you think you've got problems. First day of a new month, well, here's this guy. He's dealing with his own problems, and they're much bigger, chances are, than anyone else's. Anyway, you're a hero, man. What can I say? Let's get on with some news.
There is a self-described sex expert whose videos highlight the ties between one of Russia's richest men and the Kremlin.
What's John T. done?
No. She has been jailed in Thailand and is now calling for the United States to help because she claims that she has information about those links between Russia and President Donald Trump that people have been sniffing around for.
Oh, right, where he went to the Russian hotel and they peed on him or something.
So her name is Anastasia Vashuch.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
She's an escort service worker from Belarus, and she catapulted to a certain measure of fame after filming a yacht trip with a Russian billionaire, Oleg Deripaska.
I just want to point out to any of my friends who are interested in hiring a prostitute, this is not the one. She posts everything on social media. You don't need that.
She was detained in Thailand over the weekend in a police raid on her sex training seminar.
Mm.
And while still in custody on Tuesday, she then took to Instagram and she published videos asking for American journalists and intelligence agencies to come and help her. She claims, "I am the only witness and the missing link in the connection between Russia and the U.S. elections."
Sure. That's a big claim.
In exchange for help from U.S. intelligence services and a guarantee of my safety, I am prepared to provide the necessary information to America or Europe or the country which can buy me out of the Thai prison.
Yeah, the other possibility is that this is just a hooker who wants a free pass into America.
Well, when the going gets tough, Gareth, you've got to start being imaginative about getting yourself out of a sticky situation.
What do you think it is? You think she's just trying to make herself...
No, I mean, I think she's in jail and now she's trying to find a way to get herself out of jail.
Right. I think the chances are pretty good that she's talking shit. I really do. I don't know that this is something that that we need to pay too much attention to. Just saying. It's a woman who's in, she's in dire circumstances. She's probably desperate. Maybe this is an attempt for her to make herself, to set herself free, to get some special protection from U.S. authorities. By the way, if you're looking for a music podcast with a twist, you can catch the O'Neill Africa Experience on Cliff Central. It's unlocked by Castle Light. It's on tomorrow, live. In case you missed it, Just Six and True Verb Music astounded a live audience at the Lifestyle Home Garden Center when they performed a cappella in the latest episode of the O'Neill Africa Experience. You can download that podcast today on cliffcentral.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. And don't forget that Castle Light is bringing you award-winning artist Chance the Rapper to their exhilarating extra cold experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April at the Ticket Pro Dome. You can get your tickets now. You don't want to miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive, and get those tickets from CompuTicket. Very good.
Elon Musk's next adventure includes turning 50,000 Australian homes into a virtual power station. His latest mission is to solve Australia's problems with power, because last year he built a huge 129 megawatt power storage facility, and he did it in just 100 days. But now he's planning to create a virtual power plant by grouping 50,000 South Australian houses together to both create and store electricity without using a big power facility.
I wonder why he started that in Australia. That seems very odd. I mean, great, this Elon Musk, he's a machine. He's the real Iron Man.
He's got ideas. He seems like the kind of person who doesn't run out of ideas.
Do you like him?
I'm indifferent about this person. I have no reason to dislike him.
But he is impressive. Like he's a real Tony Stark. He just launched a rocket into space with a Tesla car in it. His Tesla car.
Look, I think anybody with a sense of humor has to be admired, and that's what this guy has. You know, that lizard on Facebook, he doesn't have a sense of humor. And this is the big difference. You can have all the money, the adulation from your masses or whatever it is, but you've got to have a sense of humor. That shows intelligence and it shows confidence.
It is one of the best qualities. I'm with you there, Ben. But why Australia, Mubs? Why would you want to hook up all these Australian homes? I mean, he's in America. Why not do it in America?
You'd have to ask him that. You'd have to take into consideration whether or not...
Give him a call.
You know, on the... I don't know. There aren't reasons given why he started this in Australia. But you'd have to imagine that the decision is based on the fact that it benefits him to do it there rather than starting in America somehow.
Maybe Australians are better at conducting electricity.
There's also less Australians.
Maybe they just conduct it. You know, if they all join their hands in series or in parallel, they can start like a major circuit.
Oh, okay.
Australians can cooperate better than other people. Who knows?
All right. And Americans, not so much.
All right. I want you all to hold hands. I'm going to attach this power supply to Giles over here. Giles, you hold on to Sheila. Sheila, you hold on to Lachlan. Lachlan, you hold on to Malcolm, and Malcolm, you hold on to Jeff, and so on down the line. And then I'm going to turn up the voltage, and you're all going to have to keep holding hands, all right? Don't worry, it's all under control. Mr. Elon Musk is in the control room right now. I suppose maybe, if it goes horribly wrong, all you'll lose is a few Australians. No one's particularly worried about that.
Well, there's that, yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Didn't they used to experiment on prisoners back in the old days? Australia's a penal colony. Maybe, you know, Elon figures, well, if we lose some of them, it's not the end of the world.
Prisoners and possibly mental patients? I don't know.
That's horrible.
It is horrible, but...
No, I don't think he's going to be electrocuting people. He's linking up their houses and he wants to store power there and see how it works. The guy's always thinking of new things. You like his boring company. That's what you want to have shares in.
Yes.
The Boring Company.
I was surprised that is the name of the company. Absolutely. So that's why I like it.
Who wouldn't want some of that?
Isn't Barbara Streisand one of your favorite people, Gareth?
No, she's the opposite of one of my favorite people.
Okay.
Don't love Barbara Streisand. What's she done lately?
Well, the American singer and actress has disclosed, either you'll find it interesting or a little bit disturbing, in an interview that has been published by Variety magazine, the fact that her dog Samantha, who died last year, has been cloned not once, but twice, Gareth.
Cloned?
She admitted this in an interview published by Variety magazine. What? Are we cloning? Are we really at that level already? Where pets are cloned.
She's cloned this dog?
That is what she told Variety magazine. She said the cloned versions are named Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet. The 75-year-old did not give many details of the cloning, but said that she collected cells from the mouth and the stomach of her dying dog.
Aye, aye.
What?
I hope no one clones Barbara Streisand. I just want to put that on the record.
Guys, I don't think are we at this level yet where
how much?
We're cloning
how much?
We're cloning pets.
I'm in. How much?
Would you clone meowses?
Sure.
Why?
Meowses is awesome.
Look, I love my dog, but I think part of living is that you have to say goodbye to
him. You love your dog. You cart that dog off to your parents' house whenever you bloody feel like it.
Listen to me. You can only have a certain amount of time with each of your animals. That's part of growing up. You've got to say goodbye. In fact, it's the best way to teach kids about mortality. Is that you give them a pet, and you know what? The pet doesn't last 100 years. And even for adults, you can't get attached. Like Barbara Streisand shouldn't be cloning a dog.
Okay, look, I remember the days
I wouldn't disagree with that sentence.
I remember the days of Dolly the Sheep, but I didn't realize that we are at the point in time where, you know, people can go into some service provider and say, hey, here's a sample, and then they'll come out with a dog for you. So, of course, she is now being slammed for all of this. Organizations like PETA weighing in on the story, saying that no, man, stop cloning your pets. And a whole bunch of other people also having their two cents worth, criticizing her heavily for having done so. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't like Barbara Streisand, so I don't know whether she's doing a good thing here or not. But I suppose she's got this money. What else is she going to do with it, right?
Well, funny you mentioned that, because the cloning of pets can cost upwards of $50,000
US. All right, I'm out.
Sorry, Mouses. There'll only be one of you.
$50,000 US. How much is that in rent? Let's do a quick conversion here.
What's the current exchange? I'll work it out for you.
What,
11.7? Yeah, it's too much.
It's a lot.
Someone just told me a story here. I mean, that's ridiculous. $50,000 clone the pet. You could buy the nicest new pet that you could possibly imagine. Five of them if you want to. Someone just sent this story to me. There was this guy who killed his brother, his brother's father-in-law, and his brother's kids. 11 and 16 were the ages of those two kids, respectively. He then set the house alight. He did all of this whilst out on parole for a murder committed in 2014. And this all took place at the end of last year in the small KwaZulu-Natal town of Mtwalume. And nobody knows about it.
Mm.
We didn't hear that in the news. Jesus, some horrible things going on. And then a little update from Stephen, who spoke to us earlier, or sent us that email, with the monster that the ex has been with.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story, and he wanted advice on what to do. So he said, thanks for reading my story. The Slummies monster is already being cornered in a massive network of people that we've created, but he has already closed in on his next victim, despite even getting previous girls to speak out. She is not convinced. She thinks he has changed. Mabale, I do and am only doing this for my kids, to know I did all I could to make sure she could watch them become adults.
Mm.
As far as your kind comments go, I don't know what keeps driving me, but no one else will carry the torch for my kids, as well as that of my father-in-law. So I got to keep moving. I'll get this guy one way or another, whether it be by the SAPS, the legal route, or the underworld route. As I pointed out, the worst of the worst gangsters want to get back at him. His comeuppance will arrive one way or another. Have a good day. Sure. Good luck, dude. Power to you. All right. Anything else we want to throw in this morning?
Well, look, it's only been a week since parts of the UK were devastated by KFC changing their delivery supplier, which led to them not being able to have chicken, which led to some people in that country phoning the police to complain about the fact that they couldn't get chicken because the stores were closed. Well, it has only been a week, and now...
people were calling the police.
Yes.
They were phoning the police to say, I can't get chicken.
The police took to their Twitter accounts to say, please stop calling us to complain about the fact that your KFC store closest to you was not open today.
Yeah. You want to hear one of these guys?
Oh, do we have an actual...
Oh, yeah. This is a dude from Manchester who's calling 999, which is like their 911, their 10111 in the UK, to complain that KFC was shut. I mean, people. Oh, you just when you think humanity, you hear Stephen's story, you think, what a great guy. Then Manchester police put this call out. Listen to this. They released this.
Closed. I'm entirely not happy. I have to go to Burger King now.
Right, and you are taking a mick, aren't you, having a 999 with this?
Well, I got told to ring 999 for any emergencies, and this is an emergency, isn't it?
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to clear the line. I'm not taking any sort of report from you,
are I? Who can I speak to?
You don't speak to the police about it.
So who can I... What's the non-emergency number then?
You don't speak to the police about it, full stop. It's not a police matter.
Oh, is it not?
No. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I mean,
she was quick. She was having none of that from the start.
That is unbelievable. But then in an instance like that, tell me, is that guy thinking I'm going to prank call the police because, I don't know, maybe he's bored?
He is serious. And London people were calling the police as well. So there are people dumb enough in society that when they can't get their KFC, they think they can complain to someone and get their KFC. Unreal. But I do want to say that KFC in the UK did something very clever.
What did they do?
They put out an ad saying, not having chicken in a chicken restaurant is not ideal. And they had a bucket of KFC, but they rearranged the letters in the KFC bucket to be FCK.
Oh.
And it was empty. Now that's clever.
Okay.
That's using a situation that didn't go your way to make it better and make people laugh. Ben, you just said Elon Musk, sense of humor.
Sense of humor. You got that, you'll go places.
A sense of humor will save everybody. So congratulations to KFC for being brave enough also to do this. You know, a lot of brands, they've got people in ad agencies and brand managers who want to make sure that everything's always hunky-dory. I mean, there was probably someone at H&M who was in charge of brand and advertising when they put out that ad with the black kid with the monkey tracksuit. Mm. There was probably someone at Dove Soap in that racist situation that they had. It was the brand manager.
Yeah.
Or the advertising agency was in charge of that.
And I bet they had funny hairstyles.
There was probably someone at, what was the other one? Outsurance, when they made that ad with no black people in it. Remember?
I don't.
Well, all they did was that they cut costs, took a whole bunch of stock images, of which there's no black people in stock imagery. Do some searches, you'll find this
and
is still a problem.
And when someone complained, they probably said to the brand manager, why didn't you think of that, brand manager?
And they go, oh, well, we gave it to the interns because it was a really great opportunity for them.
Or they said, well, how do I know anything about brand? I'm a 22-year-old millennial. Who knows?
Oh, shame.
Who knows? Here's another call from, or rather an explanation of the KFC story. This is very funny. This is from Wales Online. All right.
So now I'm outside KFC on Queen Street in Cardiff. I'm going to go in and see if they have an American and an Australian version of KFC. So the American one would be a KFC Double Down, and the Australian one would be a Zinger Stacker. Who All knows, right. They might have it. Let's find out.
This is her job.
So I've just come out of KFC, and I got exactly what I asked for. So the KFC Double Down and the Zinger Stacker, they'd actually never heard of them before, but they did say, once I explained what was in them, they said they'd be able to make them. So the Double Down is basically two Big Daddy burgers.
This is her whole job. She actually goes online and she asks people to make the versions of food that she's eaten in Australia and America. And she does this only in fast food restaurants, and she's got a whole niche on this market. That's her whole job. She's a brand manager for herself. Isn't that great? Isn't that terrific? No, you know, we're a family-friendly brand. We can't put the words FCK on a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Come on. Have a sense of humor.
Because what about the children?
What about the children? Do me a favor. Would you like to add hope? Yes, and some cholesterol, please. This is ridiculous. Piet says, I'm so sick of our legal system. These horrible people that don't go to jail.
Mm.
Responding to that guy in Mtualumi and that story, and the story about Stephen and his ex.
Oh, it's not a perfect system.
I'll tell you what's perfect is our new Cliff Central wireless earphones.
They really are.
I gave Ben a pair of them. I gave Mabali a pair of them this morning and Palesa, and they love them. So you can check them out yourself. Just go to cliffcentral.com. All the details are there, but let me give you the highlights. All right? They are convenient because they're wireless. They connect via Bluetooth to any phone. You don't have to have that special Apple jack or connect via the normal AUX jack or the Mini or the Mini or any of that crap. And they keep changing them, so Bluetooth's the way to go. Number two, they have a 10-hour playback battery life. 10 hours! If you're a podcast listener like me, you need 10 hours. Sometimes these podcasts go on a little bit. You don't want to have to run out of battery. It takes 2 hours to charge them completely. Ergonomic design for sport and for gym. They won't fall out of your ears. Great sound quality. You know, we're in the business of sound, so we're very particular about what kind of earphones we want to endorse and be involved with. and these have amazing sound quality. 3-button remote for play, pause, fast forward, rewind, and answering calls. It's got a built-in microphone to take your calls, different ear pads to suit the shape of your ear, and it comes in a pouch for storage, which is very classy. You don't just wrap them up and throw them in your bag. You put them in the pouch, in the bag. And you can take them anywhere you go. And if you don't want to carry them in the pouch, you just use them around your neck, and you click the back of each earphone to the back of the other earphone. They're magnetic, you see. Isn't that cool?
Much like your personality, Gareth.
Oh, thanks, Ben. And you can even get a big, ugly picture of me on the front of the box. Big old ugly me. The future is here, it says. H-E-A-R. Supposedly I said that. So here's what you need to know technically, all right? You can connect to the power display on iOS. It's sweat-proof for those people who go running.
And who sweat.
Right. Magnetic power switch, which means that if you're not using them, they go off. 10-meter transmission distance between the phone and the earphones.
For those with long legs.
So in other words, they could be at my desk in my office right now. And my phone could be in the studio and I could still be listening to my phone. Play music time, I mentioned 10 hours. Talk time, 12 hours if you're using them for calls. And standby time, if you're not using them, 240 hours they can stay charged. How's that? And the Bluetooth version V4.1, so the latest. So there we go. You want to take a look? It's also got a 6-month warranty from date of purchase, 550 Rand. Cliffcentral.com is where you can go to buy them right now. Buy yourself a pair, buy a pair for someone else. You know what it's like if you stock up on birthday and Christmas presents now. You don't have to worry about it when that time rolls around. Okay, anything else that we want to wrap up with this morning?
Well, if you've got a doctor's note, you can go to Russia with marijuana, heroin, and cocaine to watch the World Cup. If you've got a doctor, you can write you a note to say you need to take heroin to watch a football match.
Oh!
Yeah.
So, okay.
Oh, that's great.
The Russians are very forward-thinking.
You know, because you do get these doctors that only have cell phones. You don't go into their practices. They arrive in their cars, and they dispense prescription drugs to you on, like, a late Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of these doctors that you up.
You both meet in the parking.
Yeah, it's a different kind of sort of practice, really.
Right.
But they also study for 8 years, I think. And anyway, so if you can get your local GP/drug dealer to write you a note, and maybe you also include the recipe of the drugs you're looking to take in Russia, you can go into Russia with these drugs and have a good time. This is a real story.
In other words, this is probably the first World Cup where you can actually take heroin while you're watching the game in the stands.
As long as you can do this. Wow. Which is quite something, seeing as in Qatar, 4 years after that, you cannot be gay or drink. So, I mean, have fun in Russia while you can, I guess.
Yeah, while the World Cup is still fun, get over there.
How's you know, that? I'm a little bit nervous because, you know, when you have a situation where fans behave like hooligans, and now they're going to be high hooligans?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Is that better or worse?
Oh, football's so much better on heroin.
Like, even if someone said to me, Ben, you can go to Russia for the World Cup, I'd probably say, I don't know, I'm growing facial hair that week. I have no interest in going to that place. But yeah, how cool is that? You know, if you've got social anxiety, I mean, my doctor always says, here's a line of cocaine. Mm. I mean, that's just how it's always works.
My doctor is prescribing, I need to take 3 lines of coke a day, according to my doctor.
Well, I was offered cannabis in a prescription.
Sore throat, heroin.
Hmm. Yeah.
Got it, took it, I was better the next day. Back at work. You guys didn't even notice.
No, we really didn't. Yeah.
We didn't know you were on heroin.
Okay.
Well done, Ben. You pulled the wool over our eyes. You and your doctor, who pulls up to you in the parking, signs a note from his car and passes it to you, and you pass him money.
Yeah, you got to pay extra for a letterhead, and you also got to give him a letterhead to write on, because generally he's just got an arm that writes.
Does he have a printer in the car?
No, Gareth, you basically get him to sign the back of a till slip.
Okay.
From Pick and Pay. Smart Shopper. Today you saved €3. Turn it around. Heroin. From Rudy.
Dr. PS, Rudy.
PS, don't use this number after 8.
Oh, boy. Yep. Sounds about right.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning. We got Kagiso Lediga coming up next. Funniest guy. I love him. And we actually had a serious conversation. You know, he's a big movie director and producer now as well. And he's really close to some powerful people. He's produced a lot of films already. And Kagiso is also, I mean, he's way ahead of his time. You remember he did the Pure Munate show. That was in the early 2000s. That thing still gets traction. People go, wow, the Pure Munate show. That was something different. No one else was doing stuff like that on TV. And Kagiso was there at the beginning. He's friends with Luis Ogola, Trevor Noah, David Kibuka. We talked about all of it. We even compared South African comedy giants to the ones in the US. And we drew parallels between, you know, like, who's the Dave Chappelle of South Africa? Who's the Eddie Murphy of South Africa? Who's the Jerry Seinfeld of South Africa? We asked all those questions. And you can hear it all with Kagiso Lediga next. First, let's wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. The Hawks swooped on the home of the President's Keepers author Jacques Poe. They were looking for sensitive political information that he might be hiding. But of course, that is all already in the book. They did seize a few items, though. They took a VHS copy of Die Hard 2, 3 craft beers from the fridge, and a 1992 issue of Scope magazine, which they found under an old bookcase. Jacques says he didn't even know it was there. The president of the Oscars is threatening to ban more people before the annual awards ceremony on sexual harassment grounds. Yes, this has prompted the Academy to change the venue of the 2018 show. As all things considered, guests-wise, they have only about 50 people who aren't sexual deviants, so the Oscars may take place at a Starbucks in Los Angeles at this rate. And finally, the Emperor of Rugby, Rossie Erasmus, is set to be announced as the new Buck coach today. But in an act of incredible trolling, Saru emailed Peter de Villiers yesterday to ask him if he could attend an event in Randburg on the same day. De Villiers said he couldn't attend, though. He is still busy trying to find 15 rugby players in Zimbabwe to form a team. That's all we got for you now. There'll be more tomorrow, and there's plenty of good stuff on cliffcentral.com today. Hey, what's happening in the Bounce Show, Ben?
Gareth, are we updating, well, this update on kind of what's happening? We're into a new month, so what sports to look into this month? And we're doing a big F1 feature today. So it's a nice behind-the-scenes thing, talking to a guy who is a South African who went to England. He is anonymous because he cannot actually share secrets of F1. He's bound by contracts to say so. So he is part of the guy. He's one of the guys that designed the cars. So he's an engineer. And, interesting dude.
Putting together some material on what you think the composition of the Formula One crowd is.
Yes, that'll be going up on this week's vlog, which will go out Friday morning.
Fantastic.
On the YouTube channel.
There we go. All of that. Go to Ben's YouTube channel, The Bounce.
Follow The Bounce.
Follow The Bounce, and then you can also follow The Bounce on The Bounce Show today on cliffcentral.com. All right, be good. Have a good day. Kagiso Lediga next. Whole life is beautiful.
This is cliffcentral.com.